Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
We learned from the presidential race in 2000 that the longer we go without a winner, the more likely that the courts are going to get involved. And the Trump administration made it clear before Election Day that they had a strategy in place to legally challenge a delayed vote count. So let's find out then what can and can't happen in the court. Renee Landers joins us. She is a professor of law at Suffolk University, where she teaches constitutional law. Welcome back to the program, Renee Landers.
Thank you very much for having me, Tiziana.
Okay, so we know President Trump's campaign yesterday filed lawsuits in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada, Georgia. This morning, a Chatham County judge dismissed the Georgia lawsuit. Later, a Michigan Court of Claims ruled against a Trump challenge there. What do we know about the status of any remaining suits, Renee, and what are you watching for?
Well, he had a small victory earlier today in Pennsylvania where the court allowed, granted his motion to allow his observers of the count to sit closer, to be in closer proximity to the election officials who were making the count. The Biden campaign's response was, you know, that it didn't really matter how close or far away the observers were, just as long as the election officials were able to do their jobs. I was struck by the conversation you were just having with your colleague, because President Trump is doing a typical thing for him, which is he's challenging, he's asking for the vote to continue in places where he needs to make up ground, and he's calling for it to be stopped where he is ahead. This is just not a very principled approach to the integrity of the election process. And so I think that the courts, I think that the one lesson from Bush v. Gore is to let all the votes be counted. And I think that the courts are going to be trying to ensure that all the votes that should be counted will be counted. And I think that that's another important lesson from Bush v. Gore.
You know, I keep coming back to the distinction, being not a lawyer, between what the president can do legally and what he might try to do. To the point you just made, earlier today, he tweeted in all caps, quote, "If you count the legal votes, I easily win the election. If you count the illegal and late votes, they can steal the election from us," exclamation point, end quote. Obviously, there's misinformation there about what's a legal vote, what's an illegal vote. But what can the president do? Can he file any suit he wants? Can he challenge as many votes as he wants, wherever he wants?
Well, I had a client ask me, have you written this contract so no one can sue me? And the answer to that question is no, that people can always try to sue you. And the question only then is, what the law says about the nature of the suit and whether there's a legitimate claim. And I think that the president has, for a long time, regardless of, who people voted for, has tried to undermine the legitimacy of the election and any election law that he does not like. And so you had referenced earlier in your conversation this law, I think it's actually North Carolina, not Nevada, which allows mail-in ballots to be counted if they arrive by November 12th, which, is next
actually,
week.
Nevada's actual deadline. Last day they can count is November 12th.
Oh, it is? Okay. That may be true too. Yes. All right. So what I'm looking at doesn't have the date for Nevada, so I apologize. But the point is that, that's the law, and the people who cast their ballots in reliance on these procedures, their votes should be counted. And I think that the whole effort in this election of 2020 has been to try to make voting as hard as possible for people and to resist efforts to make it easier. And I think that people demonstrated by the amazing turnout that they really want to vote, and that I think that one of the outcomes of the election will be that expanding opportunities and ways for people to vote, just like a lot of other things that have changed as a result of COVID, will be here to stay, and that it will not have a detrimental effect on the integrity of the election process.
We're talking with Professor Renee Landers of Suffolk University. I want to play a quick cut from you from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. This was yesterday. He was talking to reporters, claiming that the president's words and actions around the legal pursuit here have not been unusual.
Going to court is the way we resolve uncertainty in our country. So, no, I'm not troubled at all by the president suggesting that, because the other side's already doing it, too. You can anticipate in close elections, both sides will be lawyered up and we'll end up in court. It's happened over and over and over again. Nothing unusual.
Is that true?
I think it essentially is true that that's why all these states have provisions for challenging the vote counts in close elections. But I do think that there is more of a, because of the back and forth and the debates over what kinds of election procedures and voting procedures should be permissible, because of that, the whole process has become somewhat more contentious than it was in the past. I mean, maybe even a lot more contentious than it was in the past. So I think that that he may be kind of technically true, that there have always been legal avenues to contest election procedures, vote counts, that sort of thing. I think that the current environment makes it more likely that those things will happen.
And is the Biden campaign taking action in the courts as well?
I have not found a lot of evidence of that, but I don't anticipate that they would be shy about challenging actions that they think that are not correct, either because they disadvantage the vice president or because, they do think that there is some legal requirement that was not observed.
Okay, so middle of the night, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, depend on how you want to count it, the president talked about going to the Supreme Court. I remember the year 2000, Bush v. Gore, and the role the court played there. We just went through arguably one of the most controversial partisan confirmation hearings for a Supreme Court justice. So I think this is important. Constitutionally speaking, what is the appropriate role of the Supreme Court in determining electoral challenges?
So I think that a lot of people think that the court made a big mistake by intervening in the 2000 election, which led to the decision in Bush v. Gore, which essentially stopped the recount in parts of Florida, and which meant that the election and the electoral votes in Florida went to George W. Bush instead of Al Gore. The ultimate outcome, is that, Gore did win the popular vote by about 500,000 votes in that election. So I think that the court is going to be very wary about putting its thumb on the scale in a situation like that in the future. I think that they might, if there is, some clearly established problem with the electoral process in a particular area, that might give them some opening to take the case, but I think they're going to be very wary of doing it. The other thing is, you mentioned the connection to the recently contentious confirmation process for Amy Coney Barrett, who started participating in court activities this week. Again, the president is sometimes his own worst enemy in these things, because he announced that his intention of putting her on the court was so that he would have another vote to give the election to himself, makes it, I think, really hard for her to participate in the case, should a case come before the Supreme Court, not because of something she did necessarily, but because of this appearance problem that the president's words have created. And so I think that makes it a very fraught situation for the court. And I think that they're going to make every effort to stay out of it at this time. Also, the president was not, technically correct. I mean, he can't just go directly to the Supreme Court on these things. He has to, if he wants to litigate certain election outcomes, he needs to work his way through the lower federal courts like other litigants.
All right, so I have one last question for you. So far, both sides have been respected the rulings in the cases that have come out. What systems or mechanisms do we have in place if one of the parties here decides not to accept a ruling from the courts as legitimate?
You know, this is uncharted territory. So I'm not sure I know the answer to that question. And I think that I think that there will be a limit to the, you know, to the willingness of most of the litigants and the lawyers to sort of countenance some kind of inappropriate defiance of a court decision in these kinds of situations. I guess one concern is that there have been reports of, you know, sort of armed people kind of lurking around the vote counting processes in a couple of states. You know, that is kind of concerning and, you know, could lead to, you know, some kind of law enforcement intervention, which really honestly should not have to be necessary, that people should respect the court decisions and the procedures that election officials have put in place in good faith.
All right. That is Renee Landers, professor of law at Suffolk, where she teaches constitutional law. Renee, thanks.
Thanks a lot.